Henry, if you were to put together a list of some great short-term rental markets, what markets would you put on that list?
Well, the Instagram gurus would tell me that you have to have a property in the Smoky Mountains, Joshua Tree, California, or some beach town somewhere. But I know there's tons of other really cool, fancy places that I'm leaving off that list.
But what about not fancy places like, I don't know, Cincinnati, Ohio?
I would say that that's probably number 472 on my list of short-term rental markets.
Well, today, I think you'll actually learn something new and how some unsexy markets do make for great short-term rental opportunities. Welcome to the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Dave Meyer, joined today by Henry Washington.
And today we're talking with Yiwei Chang and Jared Tucker. They are an investor couple living in, you guessed it, Cincinnati, Ohio, and they are doing highly profitable deals today in the short-term rental space.
And when Henry and I talk to Yiwei and Jared, you're going to hear about why investors who like the short-term rental model shouldn't overlook Midwestern cities that might not be as sexy as some of the places Henry mentioned earlier, because they have a great approach. They basically work to understand what amenities their guests want. They listen to feedback, they look at data, and they are able to use that to still make profitable deals in today's market.
Now let's jump in.
Yiwei and Jared, welcome to the Bigger Pockets Podcast. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, I am so excited to be here.
Yeah, thanks guys. We appreciate the opportunity. So super excited.
Well, I'm feeling a little bit left out because you guys met Henry already at a conference just this past week randomly, and I was not there, so I'm still catching up.
You should have been there.
I should have, but I have no business at a, they were at a midterm rental conference. I have no business there. I have never done a midterm rental, no plans to do it. So I would be a fish out of water. But I do want to catch up on your background, Yiwei and Jared. Tell me about your first rental. I understand it was actually your primary residence. Is that right?
Yeah. So background is we used to live in California and then moved to Cincinnati for work, for like a corporate work. And I knew I wanted to invest in real estate, but I didn't know what. So when I came here, I started looking for like properties, but like none of the long-term rental numbers made sense. Even though like, you know, at the time it was like 2018, you could buy houses for like 70, 80,000 in some neighborhoods. But I was like, even with that, a 30-year mortgage, like I can only cash flow maybe like $100, $200 a month. And I'm like, how am I ever going to make money? Like, how do people make money in real estate? You know, 30-year mortgage, $200 a month. Like, I didn't get it. And so I was like, well, let's just focus on like finding our primary residence. So we found a house and then we also had an apartment with a lease we couldn't get out of. So I listed it on Airbnb. We moved Jared's furniture in there and literally did everything wrong from the start. Like we had guests who threw a party. I mean, there were like footprints all over the wall because I didn't have my pricing right.
Wait, footprints on the wall?
I don't even know how they got there, to be honest. I was like, I don't know if they're doing like handstands on the stairs, on the bedroom wall. Like it was just all over the place. But at the end of the day, I was like, wow, you can really make money with short-term rentals. And it's definitely doing a lot more than what I could have gotten as a long-term rental. So by the time we moved in to the house that winter, I was like, I'm going to figure out how to do short-term rentals and I'm going to do more of it because at the same time, I also wanted to leave my corporate job.
You're telling the story, right, of a lot of people. And what I like about your story is you just kind of jumped in and figured it out as you were going. Mm-hmm. And you did it in a way where you essentially limited your risk because you got started with properties you already owned or were stuck in a lease with, right? So if you don't try something with those and you lose the money from the rent. And so it forced you to kind of learn. But let's back up a little bit. Like, when was this that you moved in to your new house and started Airbnb being your apartment? And like, when did you start learning about real estate investing as a niche? And like, did you just, were there any other strategies you tried? Like, kind of give us, paint that picture of your starting out for us.
Yeah. So I think it was like fall of 2019 when we got the house and started doing short-term rentals. But we started with real estate investing winter of 2018. So I found a mentor here in Cincinnati. Jared was like, make sure she's not a scam. So I went and met her in person. And I was like, no, I think we just need a paper experience at this point, you know, because I don't want to figure everything out on my own from scratch. So we she was like, you should start wholesaling. So that's what we did. She also sold courses. So we did wholesaling. And I was like, this is not for me. I cannot talk to sellers. I cannot look at a house and be like, oh yeah, that house is worth this much, but they want this much. It just did not work for me personally, personality wise. And then I also didn't want to try rehabbing because I was like, I don't know contractors. I don't know how this rehab process goes. From there, it really started with the short-term rental of our own house. And then after that winter of 2019, I went to this other real estate conference and Jared was like, you should check out this person who does rental arbitrage. So basically you rent this house at long-term rate and then you rent it out as a short-term rental. And she had 20 of them in North Carolina. And, you know, we just got started with short-term rentals. So I was like, this is really interesting because that I could see a way to practice more and kind of grow into that and learn more about short-term rentals instead of making all our mistakes that we did. So that's end of 2019 when we got really serious about it.
Man, it sounds like you went down all the the real estate guru rabbit holes. But what was cool was that you ended up landing on something that you kind of had your own experience with, right? Through that apartment. Jared, how were you during all this process? Because it sounds like Yahweh was like, we should do this. And then you guys would go off and do it. But what role did you play in the business during this time? And maybe it was just devil's advocate or where did that come into play for you? How did you feel about all this new real estate investing methods going on?
Yeah, I think I was nervously supportive.
That's a good way to describe
That's
it.
A phenomenal description.
Yeah, so we tried, wholesaling together. We did a lot of driving for dollars. We picked certain
cards. Oh my God.
Yeah, we went to, different neighborhoods, throughout Cincinnati. And, we got a couple of leads. We walked through houses. And just felt like, hey, we can't envision the end product, with the current state of some of the houses that we walked through. So it made more sense for us to start with short-term rentals. We did a few other things as well. We looked at notes, private lending, got a little bit of experience with that, but really, doubled down on the short-term rentals.
All right. So I have to admit, I've never been to Cincinnati where you guys invest, but it's not one of the places that you often hear about as one of the more common short-term rental market. So was there something about the city and living there that gave you a good idea that this was going to work from the beginning, or were you sort of taking a shot in the dark?
Taking a shot at the dark, because I also did not understand who was coming to Cincinnati, because it's definitely not on my list of vacation spots. And maybe for a lot of other people around the country, it's like, who would go to Cincinnati? But once we started doing arbitrage and just started buying rentals, because we saw that you could make money. So it's like, why not try with more? And a lot of times I feel like you really don't know until you do it, that you see who is coming, you understand the guests a lot more and what they're looking for. So for us, it was like, okay, let's just do it because I know we can make money and I want to leave my job. And then we can figure out the rest as we go. I would say now that I've done it for so many years, I know who the guests are that are coming. And as I start up new places, I have a better idea of what amenities to put in and what specifically they're looking for. But at the time, I didn't. I was just like, there's people coming, there's people renting, let's just do this.
So who are the guests?
Okay, so I categorize it into three different categories. The first one is more vacation people. So they're coming in for games, events, because we've got the Bengals here, we've got the Reds here, and there's a bunch of concerts that are coming here, lots of weddings. I feel like there's a wedding every single weekend here. And then people just coming to visit family. And then within that, there's like two groups. You've got the couple traveling, and then you've got the families traveling. So there's a lots of families that come and travel together for vacation. There's a lot of amusement parks up north that they go to, or a lot of like sports tournament. That's been a new recent thing, like lots of basketball games for the younger girls and guys and things like that. And then the second category is like the medical slash business professionals, I would say. So the people that are coming here for medical reasons, like there's a hospital that's close by here, University of Cincinnati. And then there's also a children's hospital that lots of people come here for like cancer treatments or different surgeries. So there's like families that need extended period of time. And there's like the traveling nurses who are coming here too. So anybody who has like a one bedroom, one bath would be really great for doing the midterm rentals with the traveling nurses. And then you've got the actual like patients who are coming in to get medical treatment. And then the third category are going to be more of your relocation business travelers. So it's like people that are moving here for work because their company moved them here and they need a place to stay while they find a house, or they're just here traveling for work, like construction workers, even like business, like single person coming in, staying downtown. And Ohio, I did not know this until now, Ohio gives this huge tax abatement to anybody in the movie industry, like filming movies here in Ohio in general. They get a huge tax incentive. So Cincinnati gets a lot of like films, movies get made here. So there's like, when that happens, you've got the actor, the actresses, and then you've got the film crew that's coming in. You also get like a lot of musicals that come in. So like they need a place to stay. I classify that as business. Like people were coming here for work. They don't live here. They're just here for work for a period of time and they leave. Or it's the people that are coming and they are moving here for work and they need some time until they find a place.
Interesting, because typically when people who, especially people who aren't doing short-term rentals yet, typically when they hear about short-term rentals as a strategy, they're thinking vacation destinations, properties with tons of crazy, awesome amenities, you know, million-dollar properties that you're essentially renting out to for people to have some sort of vacation experience. But there are a lot of markets where short-term rentals can do well, where you don't have to be this vacation hub, this vacation mecca, because there's a need for the short-term housing that is hard to fulfill with hotels. And when you think about hotel stays, if you're coming for an extended period of time, there's not a lot of great options that are an affordable price range, right? Because there's really nice hotels and that's great, but that's not ideal if you've got to stay for 30 days, right? That gets really expensive. Yeah. But if you don't want to stay in like an extended stay either, like what do you do? And so I think that it's a really cool niche that you found.
Now that we know why Cincinnati works as a short-term rental market, we're going to hear about how Iwe and Jared are staying competitive despite increased supply. We'll get into that right after the break.
You might think you want real estate, but that's not true. What you really want is passive income. With new investors struggling to find deals or get enough money to buy them and veteran landlords tired of the constant tenant phone calls, is there a better alternative? Actually, there is. Short notes from Connect Invest. Connect Invest is an online investing platform that allows you to easily participate in passive real estate investing, and all you need is $500 to start. Short Notes collectively funds a diversified portfolio of commercial and residential real estate projects across acquisition, construction, and development phases. You'll earn a fixed monthly income without the hassle of owning or managing real estate. Head to connectinvest.com/BP to create your account. Fund your digital wallet with at least $500. Select from 6, 12, and 24-month short notes with annualized return rates up to 9%. Then sit back and let your monthly returns roll in. Join today by visiting connectinvest.com/VP. Connectinvest.com/VP. Passive income without the property headache? It's possible. There's a way to invest passively in real estate and get monthly income without any tenants, maintenance, or property management. The Wealthy have been doing this for years, and if you're an accredited or high net worth investor, you too can collect cash flow without the headaches that come from owning rentals. How? By investing in a private real estate fund with PPR Capital Management. PPR's co-founder Dave Van Horn wrote the book on real estate note investing for BP. But he's not just investing in notes. Dave and his team also have an extensive background in commercial real estate. And with PPR Capital Management, they're strategically investing in both notes and commercial real estate nationwide. With over $500 million in assets under management, PPR has provided individuals with a steady source of truly passive income since 2007 without ever missing a payment. Check them out at investwithppr.com. Again, if you're looking to get monthly passive income from an experienced team with a strong track record, go to investwithppr.com today.
Welcome back, investors. We're here with Eway and Jared getting their insider tips on how to cash flow in the Midwest. Let's get back into it.
Are you seeing a lot of competition for properties in this short-term rental space in these markets now? Or is it really just like you can kind of have your pick because there's not a lot of other operators in these areas?
It's grown a lot, right? Cincinnati, since we started in 2019, you know, the listings have grown significantly, probably more so, I'll say, at the lower bedroom counts, right? So when you look at one bedroom, two bedroom properties, obviously they're going to be cheaper. Most of them probably being, you know, condos. You know, when we look at the market today, that's close to 70% of, you know, the listings that are out there today. There's probably less competition at the higher bedroom counts. You know, once you get like four or five bedrooms, that's a lot smaller percentage of the market. But the overall listings have grown significantly in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I would say Cincinnati follows the same trend that short-term rentals have seen nationally, which is like this huge increase in supply because lots of people are getting into short-term rentals after the whole COVID pandemic. And also what worked then in 2019 when we started is very different than what works now in terms of like size and location. So now I wouldn't even recommend like one bedroom downtown because there's so many. And then same thing with the two bedrooms. Like we started going into the suburbs during the pandemic because we saw downtown shut down, but the suburbs were doing well because so many families were traveling in the 10 to 15 minute range. It's all two bedrooms, one bath right now. It's very hard to stand out at that size. So like one of the things we've been doing is going up in different sizes that the guests are looking for. And I just know that because of what they asked. They said, I want a 3-bed, 2-bath. So like that's what they're looking for. So like if you have a 3-bed, 2-bath in that neighborhood where majority of the older homes are 2-bed, 1-bath, like you have that as an advantage. So I would say like listings have basically doubled in the last few years, but we're still following the same trend as the nation's national short-term rental trends.
And you talked a little bit about supply of housing, and this has been a trend that we've been watching on the show a bit for short-term rentals for a couple of years now, that just it's gotten so popular. You hear data about individual properties or individual cities starting to see income decline or revenue decline for short-term rentals. Are you seeing that with your portfolio or in Cincinnati as a whole, that there's more supply than the demand can handle?
I would say in certain pockets, yes, there's going to be more supply. In certain pockets, there are more supply than demand, but there are certain opportunities in those areas too, which is why we haven't been like, this is so oversaturated, we're not doing this anymore. It's like, I am able to see what the guests are looking for. So for example, in that one neighborhood where it's like a 2-bed, 1-bath, where majority of the supply in that area is a 2-bed, 1-bath, there are opportunities for you to have 3-bed, 2-bath, 4-bed, 5-beds that are still doing really well in revenue. And we have this 5-bedroom in that neighborhood that the revenue has not changed ever since the pandemic. Like for the last 3 years, that revenue is super consistent throughout. Whereas like some other places, like in general, I feel like in general, I've seen about a 20% decrease in revenue from in 2023, 2024 versus 2022 and 2021 were like that was the peak. So I feel like there is a decline for sure. But if you have a great product in a great location here, you can still do well.
Yeah. And one add on to that, right, is like, I think the increased competition has probably created better products out there in the marketplace, right? So gone are the days where you could go, you know, buy used furniture off, you know, Facebook Marketplace, right? In the flea market and use all your leftover linens, right? I mean, these are professional operators today. Like we were setting up houses specifically for short-term rentals, mm-hmm. very particular about, you know, the types of linens, the type of amenities that were offered to the guest.
Got to step your game up.
Exactly.
Competition exactly. is good and bad, right? You know, it's, you don't always want it, but it makes you better in the long run.
Right. It does. But like on a scale from like, I can just put any house on the market and with my furniture that I want to leave in the house or like Facebook Marketplace furniture to like, I need a themed house to even be profitable in all these vacation destinations. Like Cincinnati is kind of in the middle. Like it needs to be professionally managed. It needs to be curated for a short-term rental, but it does not need extreme things that people might need to do in vacation markets to even stand out, to even be profitable. For example, like people might want to put like a game room in the garage and make it super cool, paint it, do like a man cave or whatever. But here people want a garage. They want to park their cars. They don't want to carry their stuff in the rain. It rains here. Yeah. It snows here. So they don't want to be, you know, shoveling snow or trying to heat up their car in the middle of winter. Like a lot of people here want a garage for a garage. They're not looking for anything fancy. It needs to be a great house, but it does not need some of the things that vacation destinations are known for.
You know, what I love about what I'm hearing is it sounds like a lot of the decisions that you're making are based on feedback from tenants and data. And then you're using that to kind of drive what you're offering, and which is super important when you're dealing with the competition that you're potentially dealing with, especially in the smaller bedroom, bathroom counts. So what are some of the other things that you do from an amenity standpoint or some tips and tricks that you do to keep your particular properties competitive?
So I would say our philosophy is you have to have a great product. Like I'm not trying to just, you know, make a quick dollar from this guest. I want that long-term guest. So we get a lot of guests that repeat that only stay with us when they're here in Cincinnati. They'll say if they want to stay at one property, they'll know that every other property is going to be consistent. So having a great product. And then secondly, having that consistent 5-star experience every single time. And that's kind of like how we built our portfolio on and our business on, basically. And a few of the things I think through as I come up with which house is going to do well or which house we're going to take on and which property will do well in Cincinnati and how much money it can make. It usually comes down to like, one, what can I do to make guests want to book this house? Like, what is going to make this property stand out from others in the area and from others in my portfolio? And then the second thing is like, what are the guests want? Like, would guests like being here? So like, for example, we're getting a lot of families and kids traveling in the area, a lot more than I have noticed in the past. So one thing we've added to a lot of our bigger homes, because that's where a lot of the families are staying, is cribs, because lots of people are traveling with kids and we want to upgrade the experience. So they're not looking for a pack and play. It's like a real crib with a mattress that you can put the baby in. The other things we're doing that I'm seeing is the beds, you know, like before I had queen beds because I sleep on a queen bed. I'm like, everybody should be fine with a queen bed, but no, they want king beds. So sometimes we have to go in and rebuy the bed and redo the bedding for some of our other places that have maybe a queen in the primary bedroom. So we're taking the queen out and we're putting in kings in a lot of these places. The mattress has to be good. And the other thing we do is like all name brand products. Like we don't really go for a lot of the private label. So like the mattresses, the linens, the soap, the toilet paper, the paper towels, it's like Charmin, Bounty, Tide, Dawn. Like that is maybe what they would use at home. So I want to create the same experience. Like if they were traveling, it feels like they are still at home. They're still using the same products, the same brands, the same cotton sheets and memory foam mattresses, like that kind of thing.
Okay, so Jared and Iwe have built a portfolio of 10 properties over the last 4 years. But how have they funded these properties? We'll get into that and how they're finding deals today right after the break.
Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes to help you see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like, so you can find a home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to help you get the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today. We're always looking for ways to improve, searching for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for better is by matching with quality candidates. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Just go to Indeed.com/BiggerPockets right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Need to hire? You need Indeed. This show is sponsored by Airbnb. Did you know that a long time ago, before I ever started my real estate business, I turned one of my first primary residences into an Airbnb? And that's the extra income that I needed from Airbnb that gave me the confidence to go out and work for myself and eventually quit my 9-to-5 job. And now I have dozens of Airbnbs all over the country. I've even partnered up with the old David Green on a recent property in Scottsdale to take our portfolio to the next level. And of course, we host it on Airbnb. But you don't need to be a full-time real estate investor to start on Airbnb. As a matter of fact, I was self-managing 10 properties while working my 9-to-5 job, so I know anybody can do it. Think about it this way. You're looking for extra income and going on a vacation. Wouldn't it be great to rent out your space and let your property pay for itself while you're gone? I did this one time. I pitched my wife and my roommate, because we were house hacking, on the idea of renting out our home, and it paid for all of our expenses on a trip to Mexico City. So go and give it a try. It might just change your life, just like it did mine. And I really do mean that. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. You're trying to close on your next rental, so why is your insurance company dragging its feet? With long lead times and never-ending paper forms, it's no wonder it takes forever to finally get a policy. Modern investors deserve better. They deserve Steadily.com. At Steadily.com, you'll get fast, affordable landlord insurance available online 24/7 in just a few clicks. You can even get next-day coverage, which takes just minutes, by the way, to obtain. And you can do it all from your phone. Steadily was founded by landlords who created insurance products tailored to the unique needs of this industry. It's their sole focus, and that's why landlords nationwide consistently rate them 4.8 out of 5 stars. So whether you've got a single family, short-term, or multifamily portfolio, Steadily.com can secure the best coverage at the best price to protect your properties. Discover how Steadily can save you both time and money on your rental property insurance. Visit Steadily.com for a commitment-free quote tailored to your needs today. Are you about to sell a property? Wait like 60 seconds because this could save you thousands. Our friends at 1031 Pros have saved their clients more than $500 million, with a B, in taxes with 1031 tax-deferred exchanges. With the 1031 exchange, you can say goodbye to the huge capital gains taxes when selling and roll your property's profit into another investment that could make you even more. Whether you're an individual investor, part of a larger group, or a title or real estate agent, 1031 Pros is ready to help. Trust me, I've done 1031 exchanges on multiple properties before, and it has saved me tens of thousands in taxes, if not more. With over 30 years of experience, 1031 Pros has handled over 20,000 audit-free exchanges. And they specialize in all types of exchanges: delayed, simultaneous, reverse, and improvement exchanges in all 50 states. And right now, Bigger Pockets listeners can get $250 off any exchange by visiting my1031pros.com/BP. That's my1031pros.com/BP to get $250 off today. Oh, and make sure to mention Bigger Pockets when you call. They take care of our people over there.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast. Let's jump back in.
I want to talk a little bit about scaling because I do think this is something that, you know, a lot of investors struggle with. And it sounds like you hit a wall at a certain point in your investing where your debt to income ratio was no longer allowing you to take on more financing. And just for everyone, if you've never heard that term, DTI or debt to income ratio, it's basically something that lenders look at. Basically, how much income do you have? And they compare that to how much debt you're taking out, what your mortgage payments are going to be. And for a lot of investors, at a certain point, your income from your job is no longer enough to satisfy a lender to keep giving you more mortgages. So, Iwe and Jared, tell us how you got around this challenge.
You know, once we hit that limit, we started talking to, you know, other investors in the area. You know, we wanted to continue growing. So pretty quickly, we learned that we could go partner with others, right? We could do the majority of the work, right? The boots on the ground where somebody else could bring the funding. And so that's where we started. We've done a couple of partnerships with folks here in the area. You know, essentially what that structure, you know, looked like was we would find a property that we felt would do really well. We've got a pretty particular process of going through and vetting that property and then estimating what the revenue will do. And we have a really good handle on what the expenses look like. And it really just comes down to the type of financing that we can get and the down payment. So typically what that partner would do, they would bring the down payment and then we would work together on the financing. Now, the financing that we did do was DSCR loans. So it's debt service coverage ratio that we applied for as a separate entity. So that's one structure that we have put in place and allowed us to continue to scale. The other one is just, you know, creative financing where we work directly with an owner and they would carry back financing.
Awesome. Yeah. And just for everyone, if you don't know what a debt service coverage ratio loan is, it's basically a residential loan product that mimics commercial lending in that the lender is looking at the quality of the deal to determine if they're going to give you a loan rather than the borrower's personal credit worthiness. And this is a great strategy for scaling if you do run into these DTI debt to income issues, because if you're able to source and find good deals, lenders are going to lend to you regardless of what your job income is. So that's a really awesome strategy. Thank you for sharing that with us. And, you know, last thing here, I just would love to know, like, does this still work for you today? Because, you know, all this sounds great, but we're in a high interest rate, low inventory environment. Are you still finding deals that make sense in your market that are performing up to your standards?
Yeah, so I would say back in 2021, when we started doing the DSCR loans, it was like a new product we haven't heard of. They were lending on, like you were saying, the rental income of that house without our personal credit. And at the time, we were paying like way higher rates because the DSCR loans are going to be way higher rates than what you would get for your personal residence loan. So at the time, our rates were like 4.75 and everybody was getting like 3.2 or something. So I was like, this is such so high. But now that I look back, it's like a lot lower. But at this point, I feel like the DSCR rates are like 8%. And for you to really cash flow at 8%, you have to have like a really low price. But in Cincinnati, the prices have not come down so much to adjust for the higher rates. So what we're doing a lot more of now is looking for that creative financing deal. So the most recent one we did was end of last year where the owner had to leave. Like they were moving out of the country, the property couldn't sell, and we worked out that creatively with the owner directly. So at this point, I would prioritize creative financing if possible, especially if the owner is an investor and is more comfortable with this kind of deal, because it is more about trust than it is like, you're a stranger, I'm a stranger, so let's like, I just promise I'm going to make payments to you. But I feel like DSCR could still work, or even a commercial loan. So like one of the things I was looking into is a more like a 20-year AM, and it's like an ARM still, but it's not as great as the DSCR because you get the 30-year fixed, but it could hold you over until the rates drop some. So if I were to get financing now, those were the two. I would primarily go with the commercial if I can't get the creative financing.
Yeah. And for those who are unaware, ARM, or adjustable rate mortgage, is what that stands for. And so I love commercial loan products, especially in this environment, because yes, the property will be on an ARM or an adjustable rate. Typically that adjustable rate period is going to be anywhere between 3 and 5 years, which gives you time. It's not like it's going to adjust in the next 6 months, right? So if you get buy a property on a 3-year adjustable rate, if the rates come down over the next 3 years, you can refinance that property. And typically there's no prepayment penalty for doing that. So I think that's a great product, as well as a lot of these commercial construction loans will allow you to finance in some of the renovation money, or maybe even some of the money to furnish it. But what I wanted to do was jump back to you structuring these deals with your partners. I think that's a great strategy for almost any investor in any niche, is you pair what you do have, which is the ability to find the deals, the ability to operate the properties, with someone who has the money, and then you can create this kind of 50-50 environment. But the question I had was, when you're structuring these, how do you factor in the things like the cost for furnishing the property? Is that something that you're bringing? Is that something that the partnering is bringing? And then how are you ensuring that everybody kind of stays in their lane when you're doing these partnerships?
Yeah. So in our partnerships that we've done in the past, we have purchased the furnishings for the house. And then you've got all those set up. So that's how we handled the furnishing, just to make the partner more comfortable, making sure that, you know, we've got skin in the game as well financially. In terms of how do we make sure that, you know, everybody, you know, stays in their lane? One is, you know, making sure that you have a clear understanding, you know, with your partners, right? And make sure that you have lots of conversations, you know, early on with those individuals. Nothing's worse than partnering with the wrong person or a person that has different expectations or thinks that it's going to happen one way. So one is just learning, you know, about one another and, you know, do you feel comfortable working with that person? And then, you know, once you do have that clear understanding, is making sure that it's all documented. So all of ours are documented in operating agreements. You know, went to, you know, an attorney, had conversations with them, and they helped us document everything. So it's in, you know, black and white, plain English, to where everybody can understand.
And just to be more specific on the financial, how we split it. So the partner brings the financing and everything to purchase the house, like the down payment, any closing fees, points, all of that. And then we bring everything that is needed to make this house a short-term rental. So if we need to paint, we need to do flooring, like any of that minor stuff, we will do all the, and all the furnishings. So we will pay for all that. If it needs a rehab, so there was one house where we actually redid the bathroom, the kitchen. If it needs a major rehab, we'll split that 50-50. And then like Jared said, we have that in the operating agreement. And we talked that early on, like, how long do you want to own this house? Like, how would it look like if one partner wanted to get out and the other partner wanted to stay in? So we also try to keep the number of partners low. So like, it's usually us and one other person. It's not like us and like 10 other people. Well, there's like so many opinions of what we need to do. So it's usually just us and one person, or us and like the other one we did was, it was him and his partner. So we have it like 50-50 that way. So really between them is like 25-25. But it was because they've worked with us before, like we managed their property before, and now they want to have more money to invest with us, but they have a real job, so they don't want to be active in it. So that's kind of the specifics on the partnership side.
No, that's great, man. I don't know how many people have had conversations who end up in a bad partnership because they didn't communicate very well on the front end in terms of expectations. And then they didn't document what they talked about. Mm. I literally have an expectations document that my partner and I filled out. It's not like an official document, but we just documented everything we talked about. We had it notarized and we signed it. And we've called back on it multiple times to say, oh yeah, we did agree that in this situation, we would do these things. And it really makes difficult conversations a whole lot easier. easier. Partnerships are like marriages, man. I don't know how many times I've had a conversation with my business partner that went something like, hey, when you said this, it made me feel like that. Like, so the more you can document and the more you can have those expectation conversations on the front end, it's going to be better. So I appreciate that. Can you tell us a little bit about what your business looks like now? I know you talked about some creative finance deals. Are you continually to expand? Are you kind of holding the line and keeping what you've got? And then give some advice to some of the people out here who are maybe looking to invest in short terms in these mid-tier markets. What would you advise them to do?
Yeah, so we have been doing short-term rentals since basically end of 2019. And I don't see that changing. I feel like there's still opportunity here in Cincinnati. So I'm recommending investors now who want to invest in Cincinnati, different sizes for downtown, different sizes for if you want to do midterm rentals. It's like specific size that I have found that worked for that particular model. And then like in different neighborhoods, what sizes, what locations, what areas, what price points. So I feel like at this point, we're still going to continue doing that here in Cincinnati.
If you do want to do something hands-on yourself, do it local. Don't try to do something five states away and manage yourself. You're not going to know that market. You don't know cleaners or how to get people. And it's really easy to message people and find people on Facebook. But you know, a lot of times once you go walk that property, it looks very different than what somebody's telling you. You know, we've helped others in that instance before, right? Where they've been, you know, many states away and they tried managing it themselves and they didn't necessarily get the results that they thought they were going to get. So stay local and then understand, like, do you have the time that's required, right, to operate these properties? What I would say is that, you know, short-term rentals, it's very different than long-term rentals. It's a lot of hands-on, right, and time requirement that you're going to spend on that property.
Yeah, I would say do it next to you. Don't feel like you have to go to a vacation market. You can do it in a bunch of unsexy cities that will still generate a lot of money, you know, like Arkansas or Cincinnati. It is not somewhere where people might think about. It's not Orlando and it's not Aspen, but it will make money for you if you buy the right property. So those are the two I have, you know, and it doesn't have to be like $1 million house. It could just be a $300,000, $400,000 house to do well.
All right, great. Well, Jared and Iwe, thank you so much for joining us for the Bigger Pockets podcast. We really appreciate your time. And anyone who wants to connect with these two, we'll put their contact information in the show notes below. I'm Dave Meyer, and he is Henry Washington for Bigger Pockets. We'll see y'all soon.
There's a reason small multifamily investing is so popular in the Bigger Pockets community. With just a 3.5% down payment, you can own up to four different units. Think about it. If you house hack and live in one of the units, you still have three different groups of tenants helping you pay down your mortgage every month. Four kitchens and bathrooms you could renovate to increase your property value. Four different Airbnbs, medium-term rentals, or other rental strategies that you can try in one property, all in just one transaction. Of course, the question is, where do you find a small multifamily property that you can actually afford? Which market and which deals are best for you? Once you close, how do you manage it, optimize it, keep scaling, and living your life without being tied down to four leaky toilets or four fussy tenants? All great questions, my friends. All to be answered in the upcoming Small Multifamily Bootcamp with Chris Lopez and Leka Devatha. So if you're serious about growing your portfolio with this highly efficient strategy, head to biggerpockets.com/four, F-O-U-R, today and join us in the Small Multifamily Bootcamp. See you there.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all hosts and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.